Aslan, this great lion. And she thinks she sees him directing where they should go. They're on this mission. They're trying to save Narnia from invasion. But Peter's pretty confident that he's got it figured out. And Lucy kind of succumbs to the rest of the group and their doubt. And so they continue on, and they go through a lot of struggle because they weren't willing to follow, to believe like before. And Aslan would lead them in the past to where they needed to go. This morning, we're finishing our series on the Holy Spirit. And so we've been learning all these wonderful things about the Holy Spirit. And last week, we talked about, for those of you who weren't here, elementary kids, you were probably downstairs. We were talking about how Jesus said that if you remain in Jesus, if you stay with him, kind of like a branch plugged into a vine. You know how a grapevine works, and then there's branches that come out, and then grapes come on the branches? Well, Jesus said that you are like a branch, and if you stay plugged into the vine, then the fruit can come out in your life. But if you're a branch that's just laying on the ground, what's going to happen? You're going to perish. It's going to dry up. There's going to be no fruit on it. And so, again, we're going to look at another angle to that this morning as we finish up to say all these wonderful things we've been learning about the Holy Spirit brings all this wonderful fruit in our lives. But it's only if we remain in God, if we remain in him and he remains in us. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to be close to us. So let's talk a little bit about juice this morning to start off. Has anybody ever used one of these? Cider press? I used one a couple of different times this season, and our friends let us borrow one. They even gave us the apples for it. But what you do is you mash up apples. So you got this cool thing that you grind, and it just kind of mushes up all the apples. And then you put them in this bucket thing here with these slits in it. And then you crank this really hard, and all this juice comes out. And that's how you get apple juice. So when you buy apple juice in the store, it was probably done with a big machine at some factory, but it's kind of the same idea. How do you get juice out of fruit? You squeeze it, you press it, you squash it, right? So if you put apples in this press, what is this? Apple juice. Well, if you were to squeeze olives, did you know olives are green? You guys are used to those black ones that you put on your fingers at Thanksgiving. Well, these...
The ripe ones are green, or black.
Well, sometimes, not always. So these olives, if you put those in a press of some sort and squished them, what would come out? Olive juice. No. Olive oil. So you might have olive oil at home that you cook with, and that's how they do it. They press it, they squish it and squeeze it, and out comes the oil. Okay, what if you put carrots in there? Carrot juice. Adults, you're not letting the kids answer. You're just so smart. Okay, what about potatoes? Ooh. Does anybody like potato juice in here? No. Okay, what if you put slugs in a cider press? What would you get out? Slug juice? Anybody like slug juice in here? Yeah. Okay, what if you put a Christian in a cider press? I knew someone would say that. But I'm not talking about... Now, I'm not talking about pressure just like squeezing, but I'm talking like pressure that you might experience in your life. Like your brother keeps knocking over your Lego tower, or your sister ate all the cookies on the plate and didn't give you one. Can you feel a little bit of pressure there? Or, Dad, your kids ate all the cookies on the plate. Pressure like temptation. your friend is cheating on his test, and he can help you cheat on it, and you could get an A on this thing and save a lot of study time. A little bit of pressure there. You know there's a website you shouldn't go to because there's bad stuff on it. But you're just curious. That's pressure. There's some kind of pressure now on you. Peer pressure. You know, all the kids are making fun of that one kid in your class. And if you stand up for him, you're going to get made fun of too. You can kind of feel the pressure a little bit. Or your friend starts telling a bad joke. And I don't mean bad like it's not funny. I mean bad like it's inappropriate. It's got dirty stuff in it. And you know it's going to go there. Do you stop them and say, actually, I don't want to hear this joke? See, there's just these pressures in our life, and bigger things too, right? So if a Christian is put in the cider press, and we're going to say the cider press is all these pressures in our life, what comes out? Character, whatever's in there. What did you say? Whatever you put in. Right. So we're going to learn a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit. So we've learned that the Holy Spirit lives in us and produces this fruit in our lives. So you're asking, so am I saying there's like holy fruit juice that's supposed to come out of us? Kind of. I wanted to title this sermon Holy Fruit Juice, and my wife vetoed that idea wisely, but I kind of listened to her, but I'm still using the phrase, so. Yeah, she's downstairs right now. Holy fruit juice. What does that look like? So we're going to look a little bit at the book of Galatians. Is that kind of a funny name for a book? Galatians. Well, Galatians is one of the books. You know, the Bible is lots of different books and letters all put together in one, and we call it the Bible. So it's one book, but it's got lots of different stories and letters. And Galatians is one of the letters that Paul wrote and sent. And Paul is one of the early leaders of the church. Right after Jesus died and went to the cross for our sins, Paul, shortly after, put his faith in Jesus. But Paul was not a very nice guy before Jesus. He was very passionate about God, but he didn't believe Jesus was God. And so he actually went around and he found Christians, people who believed in Jesus, and put them in jail. And sometimes even approved of them being killed for their faith. Well, that's not holy fruit juice. But he didn't have the Holy Spirit yet either living in him at that time. So what was in him was coming out. There was this pride, and he didn't care about the pain that he was causing other people. He was about making these people believe the way that he believed, even at the price of their life. So in Galatians, he wrote to this church. So this is after he came to Jesus, and Jesus gave him the Holy Spirit to live in him, and now there's this good things coming out of him. And so he wrote a letter to encourage the church, kind of like if he was Incarnation, and he wrote a letter and sent it to Duval, to Adventure Church. And he said, I want to encourage you guys, because the church in Galatia, so Galatia is a place, they were saying we had to obey all kinds of rules and things that God had set up before Jesus. But Jesus came and changed all that, so that now we're forgiven of our sins, not by trying to do a bunch of good things, but by putting our faith in Jesus, and then his Holy Spirit produces good stuff as a result in our lives. So he's trying to explain that to the people in Galatia. Well, one of the ways he used to explain it was he talked about fruit and the Holy Spirit producing fruit in us. Now, what does this look like? Does that look like juice? No. That's like tar or something yucky, sludge, sticky stuff. We'll call it sin sludge. Okay? So he says in Galatians 5, in chapter 5 of his letter that he wrote to this church, he says that, this is Paul talking, he says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh, we'll explain what flesh is here in a minute, are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Okay, so he's saying, when we talk about squeezing a Christian under pressure, what comes out, he's saying that there's this flesh. And what the flesh represents is not just your body. It's this human nature to do the opposite of what God wants. So God is righteous and holy and good and peaceful and joyful and loving. And we have this human nature that just wants to do the opposite in us, okay? And the kind of the fruit or the result, Paul calls it the works, that come out when you squeeze somebody who's not walking by the Spirit is this sin sludge. It's anger, jealousy, greed, and all this stuff comes out and it sticks all over everybody around you and it makes a big mess of your life. And that's what Paul's saying is there's that option. You can walk by the flesh, by your own human nature, and when you get squeezed and pressured, and sometimes you don't even need to be pressured, it just comes out anyways, is this sin sludge, okay? Well, then he contrasts that and he says, but there's another way. What do you think that other way is, kids? What do you think could come out of you if the Holy Spirit was in you? Holy fruit juice. My wife's going to kill me when she listens to this. The fruit of the Spirit. He says there's this fruit, and he calls it the fruit of the Spirit, singular. And then he lists a bunch of different attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is, he doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit are. He says the fruit of the Spirit is. Does anybody know any of those fruits? Who is in elementary school? Yes? Love? Awesome. Wow. That's great. Peter? Awesome. Good job, parents. Any other ones to add to that? I think you got them all. I think you two got them all. Is there an adult in here who can recite them? Gentleness. Good job. And you raised your hand, so I believe you can do it. Okay. Oh, are you going to do it?
Yeah, Rachel, do it.
Come on, this is practice. Yes, awesome. There they are. Okay, so, like I said, it says the fruit of the Spirit is, okay? Paul says here in chapter 5, after he talks about that sin sludge and the flesh and all that yucky stuff, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, the reason he's talking about law is because remember the Galatians thought, no, we got to live by the laws of God, and he says we have to do this and this and this and this and this, and God set up all those laws to show us that in our sin nature, in our human nature, in our flesh, we can't do it. That's why he set it up, so we would come to a place to go, we need Jesus. We need Jesus to pay for all of these sins of our flesh, the things that we do, the jealousy we get, the anger we get, to pay for those and be reliant on God and his Holy Spirit, not on works. But this church in Galatia was saying, no, we can still, yes, Jesus, we believe in Jesus, but we're still going to work out our salvation. We're going to do all these things that were called the law. Okay? So Paul's trying to say, no, it's different now. It's different now. All of that law will be fulfilled because of the fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in you and will come out of you. So he says, against such things. So is this list the only ways that the Spirit produces fruit? I don't think so. I think these are many of the ways, but there's lots of things that the Spirit produces in us as fruit. And all throughout the Bible, we're told to bear fruit. So that creates this interesting thought in us. Is God asking us to do something that we can't do without the Holy Spirit. Read that carefully. I tricked a few people this morning with it, and I wasn't even trying to. Think about your answer to that. Because listen to this. In one of the other letters that Paul wrote to a different church in a different city, speaking to the Christians, he said, get rid of all bitterness. Well, you're going to need kindness for that. He's telling them to do this. Get rid of rage. Well, you're going to need peace. And anger, that's going to require love. Brawling. Any brawlers in here? Brawling is like fighting, and Russ is a brawler. Careful around Russ. You're going to need gentleness and self-control to not be a brawler. And slander, get rid of slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind, okay? So he's telling us as Christians to be kind. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Last week in John chapter 15, we heard that Jesus told us, he said, my command is this, love one another. So we're getting these commands from the Bible to bear fruit. But Jesus also said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You'll bear no fruit. And Paul's saying, well, the works of your flesh, the things you just try to do in your own strength, are going to produce sin and anger and all these nasty things. But the fruit of the Spirit is all this good stuff that we're being told to do. So is God telling us to do something that we can't do without the Holy Spirit? Some people say yes. Does that seem fair? So, yes. The answer is yes. He is asking us to do something that we can't do without the Holy Spirit. If I was to tell you that I want you to travel across the United States, a big country, right? And I want you to do it in 6 hours. And then I gave you a plane ticket to get you there. Are you going to start off walking down the road and complaining because I've asked you to do something you can't do? Wouldn't that be silly? You have a plane ticket, and you can do it in 6 hours. You can fly across the U.S. in 6 hours. I've done it before. You're not going to start walking and say, ugh, Pastor Jeff asked me to get all the way across the U.S. It's going to take me months to walk. And you got your ticket in your pocket. Well, that's kind of what God's trying to get at here, and what Paul is telling us too in this, is God is doing exactly that. I want you to produce the fruits of the Spirit in your life, but really the Holy Spirit's going to produce it in you. What's your job? To walk by the Spirit, okay? Ooh, look at that animation. Love it. I hope you're watching, kids. Should we go back and do it again? Oh, you know how hard it was for me to walk across there and make those prints? It was really hard. Okay, so in this same chapter where we're talking about the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, there's two phrases that Paul, remember our friend Paul who used to be mean and nasty and now he's really nice and fruit comes out of him and he loves Jesus? He said to walk by the Spirit, and let's look at that for a minute. In verse 16. That was right at the beginning. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So to walk by the Spirit is really to live by. So the power in which you're walking, he's not just talking about physically walking. He's talking about living by the Spirit. Because later, a few verses later, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. And that was a phrase used back then to talk about the army or the military. And keeping in step with a leader is to fall in rank, we say. So have you ever seen an army marching and the leader's out front and everyone else is marching behind him? And guess where you go? You go wherever the leader goes. Follow the leader. You ever played follow the leader? Well, you lose the game if you don't follow where the leader goes. And so Paul's saying, follow the leader, the Holy Spirit, and it will lead to this fruit in your life. You want to know a really cool story about Paul? This is a drawing of Paul. Nobody really knows exactly what Paul looked like, so somebody had to kind of make up what he might look like. But look at this. Their feet are stuck in this thing called a stock, and they're in prison. Paul got put in prison. What did he used to do before he believed in Jesus? He used to throw people in jail who believed in Jesus. And then he met Jesus one day on the road. And Jesus said, I'm going to make you my messenger. And you're going to tell people about me. And Paul's heart was changed. And the biggest thing about him that was changed was he was given the Holy Spirit. And he started to produce fruit in his life. And then he started to get squeezed. Paul, even physically, there was one time, so this is Paul, we'll say. This is his friend Silas. And they were going around telling people about Jesus. And they came into this town, Philippi. And there was a girl there who had this ability, but it was an ability by the enemy, by the devil, to tell fortunes, to tell the future. That's weird. I mean, I don't understand how all that worked. But she was going around, and she was even following Paul and Silas and saying, these men are telling the truth about God, which is true. But the way she was doing it was drawing a crowd and almost creating this atmosphere that was keeping people from really hearing what Paul and Silas had to say about your heart changing. She was drawing all this attention and making this commotion. And so Paul prayed for her. And she was healed. And she was all better. But guess what? She couldn't tell fortunes anymore. And she was a slave. That means somebody owned her and they made her work telling people's fortunes so they could get money. She was a slave. Well, Paul set her free. Jesus set her free through Paul praying. But now the owners were really mad because they couldn't make money on this little girl anymore. And so they caused a big riot, a big, there's a big fight that happened. Argument, everyone yelling and screaming, and we got to do something to these guys. Well, the leaders of the city came out and said, what's going on? And they decided, we're going to beat these two guys with rods. We're going to beat them, and we're going to throw them in jail. And we'll figure out what to do with them later. Maybe we'll kill them. I don't know. So that happened to Paul and Silas because they prayed and set a little slave girl free from her illness. And here they are. So I'd say that's being squeezed, you know. Your brother knocks over your Legos. That's pretty tough. But Paul got beaten with a rod like a big stick. And it was unfair. He didn't deserve to be. And Silas, his friend. And then they threw him in jail in a stinky cold, probably rats crawling around in there. And they put their legs in these wooden things with holes so they couldn't move their legs. And guess what came out of them when they were pressurized, when they were squeezed? Because the Holy Spirit was in them. They started praying. They started singing joyfully. Remember when we were singing just a little while ago? Imagine doing that while you're in prison with wounds all over you from being beaten unfairly. See, the Holy Spirit was producing a fruit that Paul, I'm sure, wanted to be angry, and he wanted to be mad at the jailer, and they put this jailer there to watch him in jail, make sure he didn't get out or anything. Well, guess what? They were praying, and they were singing, and all this holy fruit juice was coming out of them. And there was an earthquake. The ground shook. And all of these things are called stocks on people's feet. All of them broke loose just on their own. God opened them up, not just for Paul and Silas, but for all the people in the jail. Just because they were singing and praising God and trusting him no matter what. And the jailer decided he was in so much trouble, he was actually going to harm himself. Because he knew he'd be in big trouble if these guys got loose. Because he's in charge. That's his job, to keep them in there. But Paul, again, holy fruit juice coming out. What did he do? Man, he should have been so ticked at that jailer. That was his chance to run. And then the jailer's going to get in trouble for it. Perfect. No. He said, wait, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. All of us are still here. And then he told the jailer about Jesus and how much Jesus loved him and wanted to save him. And the jailer took Paul and Silas to his house at night. This is really happening. Talk about fruit. He took them to their house and he washed their wounds. And the jailer's whole family received Jesus and his love and then received the Holy Spirit in them so they could bear fruit. And then the next day, the leaders of the town said, just let them go. I don't know, the jailer might have told them, like, don't touch these guys. There was an earthquake. This amazing thing happened. I don't know what that part of the story was. But they decided to let them go. Now that is amazing. If under that kind of pressure, that goodness came out of Paul. Well, here's another really cool thing. Kids, this goes for you too. If you believe in Jesus, you're following him, you have the same Holy Spirit that Paul has. The same Holy Spirit that allowed him to sing hymns and pray even when he was being mistreated, even when things were unfair in his life. You have the same Holy Spirit that can help you. So when you get frustrated with your brother for tipping over the Legos, do you just try to not get angry? Well, what we're learning from Paul is you can't just try. It's the fruit of the Spirit is all those things together. So it's not, today I'm going to really work on being more loving. I'm going to really work on being more loving. I'm going to really work on being more loving. That guy just took my parking spot. I am so ticked at him. I'm going to lay my horn on him and let him know that I am frustrated. See, that's not the Holy Spirit's fruit coming out in our lives. Oh, today I'm going to be more patient. Kindness, that's what I'm doing this week. This whole week I'm going to focus on just being more kind. This is all the flesh. That's all you and your own strength. And really, like the law of the Old Testament, I'm going to make myself bear the fruits of the Spirit. Well, what Paul's saying is turn to God. Keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, last week we were reading in John, he said, abide, remain in me, and you will bear much fruit. So there's a different way than just trying. And it doesn't just go for not doing bad things. If you're super depressed, you're super sad, something really sad happened in your life. I mean, we even see Jesus who never sinned, and he would mourn and he would cry and weep at times when he'd lose a friend. That's okay. But he also was able to find again joy and peace because the Holy Spirit was in him and he walked by the Spirit, and the perfect example of it. So we go to God. We don't just try to figure it out. Man, my parents keep getting upset at me because I'm not doing my chores or I'm not respecting them. I just got to do better at that. God's saying, that's not the way. Yes, we put some effort into it, but first you pray and you ask God to help you. And you say, Holy Spirit, I know you live in me and you can help me. Would you help me to be patient with my brother? Would you help me to respect my parents? Because then who's doing it? Remember, God asks us to do something that we can't do without him. He asks us to produce the fruits of the Spirit in our life. So we got to go to him. All of us. We have to go to him. So listen to this psalm. You know what a psalm is? In the Bible, there's this section of the Bible called Psalms. But psalm is a really fancy word for like a song or a poem. And a lot of different people wrote these poems or songs in the Bible. One person who wrote a lot of them was King David of Israel, way, way, way back when. And one of the things we learned from King David is how to walk by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to abide or remain in God. Listen to what he says. Imagine if you felt like this towards God as I read this. So this is a song that David wrote. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Imagine being thirsty for God. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary. At that time, there was like this temple, a sanctuary where the presence of God dwelt. And beheld your power and your glory, because your love is better than life. God's love is better than life itself. My lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. That's just a decision. As long as I live, I'm going to praise you. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. Have you ever lifted up your hands to God in worship? David did. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. Satisfied by God as if you'd eaten the best foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. So not just at the sanctuary, not just at church, but David's saying, just lying in my bed, I will remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, all through the night. He's thinking about God. Because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. So picturing God like this big protective eagle. And in the shadow of his wings, David's just like, I'm safe right here, even laying in my bed at night. God's got me covered. My soul clings to you. That means holds on to you. Your right hand upholds me. So God's holding him up and protecting him. So that's just a little picture into David's connection with God, how deep that is. And we can have that too. So as we move on from our series on the Holy Spirit, now it's time to start living in it. Now you might remember what I said for the rest of this afternoon. Maybe into Monday, I would hope. But at least during that amount of time, would you be willing to observe what happens when you're under pressure? If you are a Christian, what's happening? And then don't go to the place of guilt and feeling like a miserable failure because you don't have holy fruit juice coming out of you. Because remember what I just said? This isn't everybody go home and work on your fruit. No. But if you've grown comfortable sinning, okay? So you should never be so confident in grace that you become comfortable with sin. So confident that Jesus has forgiven you. Absolutely. For sure. The work is Jesus. He did the work for you to be saved. But that grace is not supposed to make you be comfortable with sinning. A Christian should be as uncomfortable with sin as sleeping in a fiberglass sleeping bag. And if you know what fiberglass is, it's really itchy. Or petting a porcupine backwards. Or drinking slug juice. We can't grow comfortable in that. And so the challenge that I'm saying is, are you willing to look at, have you grown comfortable with sin in some area in your life? And so here's the challenge. Remain in God. Take that to him. God, I have become comfortable sinning in this area of my life. Because the Bible's pretty serious about this. Like, here's the fruits that come from a life that's walking with the Spirit. And here's the fruits of someone who's living in the flesh. And grace is covering us in that process. But you can't just get comfortable sinning, saying, Jesus has it covered with grace. I'm just going to keep living in sin. Well, it's pretty serious about if the fruits of your life are sin. Are you walking by the Spirit? Okay? Now, I'm not talking about if you're struggling with sin. So let's say there's a sin in your life that you're struggling to overcome, and you're walking with God in it, and it's hard, and you keep, I got angry again with my brother for breaking my Legos, or whatever, this addiction that I just can't stop. But you're struggling, and you're walking with God in it, and you're handing it over to him, and you're asking him to produce fruit in your life and bring breakthrough. That's different. You're walking by the Spirit. But if you've just resigned and you're comfortable with it, then you're not. You're not walking by the Spirit. So that's a challenge for everyone in here, including myself, to think about that. So how do you do it? you can read God's word and fill yourself with truth. That's going to be powerful because God's going to use that then in your life. As a church, we're reading through the Bible. We should be a little over halfway there. We're reading through the whole Bible by mid-January. Who's still on that trip? Awesome. Maybe a couple less hands. Don't give up. Catch back up. You can do it. I heard somebody in this room already finished. I think he's the brawler in the room. Are you listening to what you're reading, Russ? Anyways, keep going, but filling yourself with the Word of God, and then, like I said, spending time with God. If you're just going through your day and just holding your breath until the next Sunday where you praise Him and pray a little bit during worship and then hold your breath again until the next Sunday, you're not remaining or abiding in God. You're not walking by the Spirit. You're not keeping in step with the leader because He's with you every day. He lives right in your heart. Okay? So that's the challenge. We're going to discover what the Holy Spirit does in our life by walking with Him. We've learned about some of that stuff, but now we're going to experience it. So let's do that together. Worship team, if you want to come up, I'm just going to pray for us, and then we'll sing one more song. I just want to repeat again to you, if you're here this morning and you don't even know if you made that decision to follow Jesus Christ or what that means, or you're just curious to understand more, please come talk to me. If there's someone in here that you're more comfortable talking with, please bring it up and talk to them so we can talk about what it looks like to start this new life of walking by the Spirit. God, I just thank You that You set things up the way You did, that we cannot do the things that You command us to do without You. And You get glorified in that. And we get to see how amazingly loving You are to us to walk with us in producing this fruit of the Spirit. I pray over everybody here this morning. God, would You help us to see that fruit? And maybe first step is to see where we're not seeing that fruit when we're under pressure. But God, I pray the decision that would be made in those moments, whether we're feeling just really down about something, or whether we're just tempted, or the kind of that sludge, that sin sludge is showing up in how we're treating the people we love the most. I pray that we'd be willing to bring that to You and ask forgiveness, and then ask You to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control in our lives. Amen.